came out today. Good to see you. So this old guy calls the church office and he says, I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough. And the church secretary said, pardon me? She was a little offended. She said, if you're referring to our pastor, you should show a little bit more respect. And he said, well, I was just trying to figure out how I could make a $5,000 donation to the church. She said, hold on a minute, Porky just walked in. You know, I don't think anybody would argue that life can have its challenges at times, right? I mean, life can be hard, but it's good, and we can greet every day with a smile and expectant of what God's going to do in our lives, and we don't have to shrivel back or shrink back from what life brings us because we know that God is in control, and God loves us. He's on our side. Man, we've been singing about it all morning. Can we say thank you to this band, by the way? They do such a good job. We love you guys, man. That's awesome. You know, maybe things in your life aren't what you would really love them to be, and maybe it's because of some mistakes you made, or maybe it's some mistakes somebody else made, or maybe something that you had no control of at all. But and you know, challenges, we all know challenges come in the form of financial issues or relational issues or health issues, and we have plenty of those represented. And you know, last week we talked about how God is for us, and I'm not going to re-preach that message, but what I really want to say that if you believe that God is for you, if you really believe that God is for you, you can handle almost anything. You can handle persecution or poverty or failure or sickness or financial issues. You can handle, if you believe that God is for you, he will give you the strength. You'll be able to get a hold of the strength that'll help you get through any difficult time. Now, on the other hand, if you don't believe that God is for you, even the slightest difficulties can throw you into a tailspin. Even the silly things like driving around looking for a parking space and not being able to find one and make you doubt the your own personal value, you know? I mean, these kind of things, that's kind of how it works. And, you know, one of the first steps is believing that God is for you, but another critical step is believing that God is in control. And our world can seem like a pretty out-of-control place. I mean, we've got natural disasters and school shootings and crime and the declining influence of the church in society. These things can be kind of depressing. But I want you to know this morning that in spite of how things might feel or how things seem, they may appear at the moment, whatever, you know, how you perceive them, listen, God is in control. And there is no situation that is beyond his touch. There is no situation that is beyond his ability to save. And we see examples all through the Bible. You know, one of the go-to solution illustration when we talk about that is the children of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, remember they came to the Red Sea and there's the water in front of them and Pharaoh's army is behind them. And they thought they were goners. But with God, things are not what they appear. Remember when Jesus was arrested the Friday before Easter? They passed judgment upon him and condemned him to death, and his disciples were scattered, and I'm sure from their perspective, things were spinning into chaos. You know, everything that they believed for the last 3 years was out the window. Jesus was hanging on the cross now. Everything they'd been taught, everything they believed, it was like it was gone. The situation looked out of control. But listen, with God, things aren't always what they appear to be. The death of Jesus was not a victory for the devil. It was a crushing defeat. See, God was in control of that situation. And I know some of you this morning, you're in situations where you're just wondering how you're going to get on the other side of this thing. Some of you are facing things that they look like they're out of control. And it just feels like, you know, one random catastrophe is getting thrown at you at a time, you know, one after another. And maybe you don't know how you're going to make it through, how you're going to respond. And maybe you think that this situation is going to get the better of you. But listen, in spite of how things appear, God is in control. And if you want to find a place of peace in the storm, you got to press in and nail down this certainty that God is in control. Things are not always what they appear. Now, last week we started in Psalm 118. I want to continue there this morning. When you read the Psalms, you see that David, who wrote most of the Psalms, is brutally honest. He's brutally honest It's just gut level honest with God about what's going on in his life. And as early as Psalm 10, we see David say things like, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourselves in time of trouble?" Anybody ever feel that way? Like God is a long ways away? In another psalm, Psalm 38, he says, "Your arrows have struck me. Your hand has struck me hard." And in Psalm 44, he goes as far as to say, "You have butchered us like sheep and scattered us among the nations. You have sold your precious people for a pittance, making nothing on the sale. You let our neighbors mock us. We are an object of scorn and derision to those around us." Can you believe his brutal honesty? David's just, he's laying it all out there. You know, and one of the things that we can learn from the Bible, one of the things that we can learn is that it is absolutely okay to be absolutely honest about how you're feeling with God. It's absolutely okay to be absolutely honest with how you're feeling and what you're thinking and what you're going through. You can tell him exactly what's on your heart. You know why? Because he already knows. When you're talking to God about your issues, when you talk to him, listen, you're not supplying him with new information. You realize that? You know, you're not bringing him up to speed in what's going on in your life. You know, when you pray insincere prayers, you're not fooling him. When you pour out your heart to God, he's not shocked. He's like, "Oh my goodness, I didn't know you felt that way." You see, he knows, he already knows what's in our hearts. So there's no point in praying prayers that don't reflect the truth of what's going on. You can tell God exactly what's in your heart, exactly what's on your mind, exactly what you're feeling, exactly how you think or what you think he ought to be doing about your situation. You can just lay it out. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, "We should bring to God what is in our hearts, not what we think should be in our hearts." So don't play games with God with your prayers. You can be honest with him, and then you can take that honesty a step further, and you need to learn to say, "God, in spite of what's going on, regardless of what I see, regardless of what I feel, I choose to trust you. Regardless of what's going on around me, Lord, I'm making a choice. I'm making a choice. I'm going to follow you. Lord, this thing's bigger than me, but it's not bigger than you. And you just, Lord, I'm going to trust you to get me through it. And I'll believe in you. I'll trust that you are an in-control God." So here's what I want to talk to us about today is how to develop kind of a God is in-control mindset. And we'll look at Psalm 118 and point out a few things. And I think it's going to be really helpful for us learning to do that. So here's the first thing you can write in your notes. Is because God is in control, I can look at each day as a gift. I can look at each day as a gift because God is in control. Now, Psalm 118 has a real famous verse in it. Verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and what? Be glad in it." This is the day that the Lord has made. Because God is in control, I can look at each day as a gift from God. That's a pretty good way to start. This is the day the Lord has made. Pretty good way to start your day, right? God, today is your day. You made it. You created it. You're in control of it, and I choose to rejoice in it. Listen, today's not an accident. God knows what's going on. He made this day in your life. And I know some of us here in this room could be tempted to say, this may be the day that the Lord has made, but I sure messed it up before it got here with some of my decisions, right? Yeah. Oh, you're all looking pretty self-righteous this morning. Come on. Tell the truth, shame the devil. You know, no matter how things look, we can trust that God is in control. Today is not a ruined day. It might be difficult, but it's not destroyed. I'm preaching pretty good. You're not acting like I'm preaching as good as you. Listen, God is in the redemption business. I mean, when you think about it, if you go to court, that court hands down a verdict, right? And then what usually happens? They appeal that to a higher court, right? Well, how many of you know that our God is called God Most High? And he can overrule any verdict that's sent your way. The doctors may make a judgment. And we love doctors here. But listen, the doctor doesn't have the last word. God has the last word. God is called the Most High God. And can I just tell you something else? You're related to the judge, and he's on your side. You know, think of it this way. Where you are is not who you are. And what things that have been spoken against you and things that have been assigned to you and ways you may feel about different situations and circumstances in your life, listen, that's not who you are. God can overrule those things because our God is the Most High God. This is the day that the Lord has made. And he intends to accomplish one of two things through today. He will either carry you through it. He'll either carry you through today or he will deliver you from today. He's going to do one of those two. And he made this day to strengthen you and to empower you and to build into you and to pour into you, to help you become the person that you were designed by your Creator to be. You're not in this thing all on your own. Listen, God is for you, and he is in control. He wants to move you closer to the person that he made you to be. Now, no matter what troubles might be lurking right around the corner waiting for you to roll out of bed that morning so they can get busy with their dirty work, listen, you can make a choice to celebrate this day in anticipation of what God has planned for you. He's thinking good thoughts towards you. Jeremiah 29:11, by the way, if you need a reference. I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. David said, we're going to rejoice and be glad in this day. Now, please note that it takes a choice to rejoice. Rejoicing isn't our natural response, right? We got to choose. It's a choice to rejoice. You know, it's something you decide to do. And from the time you open your eyes in the morning, our life is filled with choices, right? And one of the first choices of the day is, I'm going to choose what I think about. I'm making a choice to rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. What am I going to focus on? Well, I'm going to focus on the fact that God has given me another day. Now, the truth is, if we're going to be really honest, and it's always a good idea to be honest in church, if we're going to be really honest, there are days when we're more likely to say, this is the problem, this is the day my problems have made, I'm going to moan and grumble through the whole day, right? And before you know it, you're completely focused on the power of your problems and the power of your sinfulness and the power of your enemies. And you're not thinking at all about the power of God. You're thinking about the power of everything that's coming upon you. And sometimes you just got to shake those things off. Amen. You know what I mean? I mean, really, sometimes you just got to get off of me. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Can I just tell you, we're in a controlled environment and the fight is fixed. God is on your side and he is in control. And the best way to learn to celebrate each day is to make it a habit to get into God's presence as early as possible. Get into God's presence. As soon as you wake up, as soon as you're capable of a coherent thought, you start the day with him. Jesus modeled it all over the Gospels. Mark chapter 1, he says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went to an isolated place to pray. Over and over again, we see that as a model for Jesus' life. So try to get in the practice of talking to God before you talk to anybody else every day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will choose to rejoice in it. You celebrate the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And look for signs of his presence. Look for signs of his provision. Look for opportunities to grow. You know, look for solutions. Look for possibilities. They're on the way. Remember, last week we talked about this in chapter 118, Psalm 118, verse 5. David says, I cried out to the Lord in my distress, and he put me in a broad place. Remember that word broad, it means a place of possibilities, a place of opportunity, a place of abundance. He put me in a broad place because when our problems come at us, we feel like life is shrinking in around us, don't we? We feel like we're pressed against the wall kind of. But when you cry out to God, he says, I want to put you in a broad place, a place of possibilities. He made this day for you to experience him. Now, here's the second way to develop a God is in control mindset, and that you can write this in your notes, because God is in control, I can be bold in my prayers. If you really know that God is in control and that he's for you, that he's on your side, that he wants to work in you, listen, you can be pretty bold in your prayers. Look what David writes in verse 25. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now, what? Prosperity. See, David's not praying some kind of poverty mindset. Lord, just give me enough to get by. Lord, I know I don't deserve anything. Well, that's pretty true. I don't want what I deserve. Do you? I deserve to be a crispy critter, right? I don't want what I deserve, but I know this, that my God has covered me, and because I'm in Christ, when God looks at me, it doesn't matter what's going on. When he looks at me, he sees his son, Jesus Christ, who is perfect and sinless. So I can have all sorts of confidence in coming to him. I can pray some pretty bold prayers. David's saying, he's not praying with a poverty mindset. He's not saying, Lord, just help me to squeak by here. Help me to survive. He says, Lord, send prosperity, send abundance, send plenty. Now, I know that word prosperity in church can kind of get some people either excited and other people kind of frustrated, because the pendulum tends to either swing one way or the other. You know, either you think that God's not interested in bringing blessing into your life, or maybe you're way over here and you think that just because you're in him, you ought to be able to voice it and Rolls Royce it. But how about if we find a place somewhere in the middle where we look at the Bible and we do what the Bible says? We believe what the Bible says. Because listen, God wants you to be able to, so often his word is up here, the promises of his word are up here, and our belief level is way down here. And God wants to help us to lift the level of our belief so it lines up with the truth that he has spoken in his word. That's some good preaching, folks. Come on now. We want to be able to raise the level of our belief so it lines up with what God has spoken to be truth in his word. But we're way down here a lot of times. Because God is in control, I can pray some pretty bold prayers like David. Send prosperity, send blessing. And several versions of this same passage say, Lord, please give us success. New American Bible says, grant good fortune. Anybody up for some good fortune? Or you just like surviving? Everybody in favor of good fortune? Everybody in favor of just sneaking by? Good. Okay, we're on the right. I'm in the right church. Good. Thank you, Lord. Here's what I'd like you to do for just a moment, though. Think about your situation in life, where you are, the challenges you face, different things. What does prosperity look like for you in your situation? It might be money. That's fair enough. But it could be a prosperity or an abundance of health. Yeah. Maybe you're lonely and you just need some people in your life. Maybe it's an abundance of cooperation. Maybe it's an abundance of creativity, where you're trying to do something creative and you just need God to bring increase to you. Maybe you need an abundance of favor. All those things are things the Bible says God wants to give you in your life. Maybe it's an abundance of love in your marriage. A friend of mine told me several years ago about, you'll know why I'm laughing in a minute, about he and his wife, they're on the verge of divorce for month after month after month. They're just having a terrible time. And he said it had gotten so bad that they couldn't even be in the same room together without irritating one another and getting in an argument. And he told me, he said, it has gotten so bad, I can't even stand to see her read. I'm thinking, I had to ask. I mean, what's up with that? He said, oh, she talks to the book. As she's reading, it's, aha, oh, and all this. And then when she gets to, and it's time to turn a page, he said she makes a production out of it. She licks her finger and says, now what? And after every page, he said, it's enough to drive a guy crazy. Now listen, there is nothing funny about a couple being on the edge of divorce, but that was funny. And so he's telling me this. The reason he was telling me this is because that they had made some changes in their relationship. And for months, he had been praying, Lord, help me to survive this terrible marriage. Lord, help me just to survive this. Lord, help us not to kill each other here. Help me to endure this miserable marriage. Now, they had more problems than the fact that she had weird reading habits. He did a lot of things that irritated her as well, and he was equally annoying. And but really, the best my friend could pray at the time was, Lord, help me survive. And then they both went to a marriage retreat, and God touched their lives. And they really had a spiritual renewal here. And at the same time, his prayers began to take on a different direction. Instead of praying, Lord, help me put up with this person, he started praying, God, give us an abundance of love. Help me to fall in love with her. Help her to fall in love with me again. Lord, reignite the romance in the passion in our relationship. Lord, send a honeymoon. You know what he was doing? He was praying, send prosperity. He stopped praying a prayer of poverty. Lord, just help me get by. Help me. Just give me enough to. And he began to pray a prayer of prosperity. Lord, give us everything. Lord, flood this relationship with your love. Yeah. And you know what happened? It came back in abundance. And you know, when you believe that God is really in control of a situation, you don't need to ask for barely enough. You could ask for it all. He's in control. And you ask, when you ask for just enough, that's not a prayer that pleases God. That's not faith. When you ask God just to help me squeak by, that's not what he has in mind. You're just hoping the circumstances will change. But see, it's not God's plan for his children to live in poverty and in lack. It's not his plan that his children merely survive. He wants them to thrive. He wants you to thrive. Right? I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to figure this out because, I mean, those of us who are parents, we know we want our children to thrive, right? And that's God's heart. So no matter what your life looks like today, know this, God is in control. And that means that you can ask for big prayers. You know, you can ask for more than enough. You can ask for blessing and abundance and prosperity in your life. And no matter how far they seem and no matter in what category you're asking. I've been doing this for a while and I know God loves those kind of prayers. Here's the third thing you can do, the way you can develop a God's in control mindset, and that's because God is in control. I can fix my eyes on his light. Now, that sounds kind of new agey. Ooh, follow the light. Listen to what David says in verse 27 though. God is the Lord, and he has given us what? God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Now, what do you suppose the word light means? What's he talking about? Well, Psalm 119, light refers to God's word. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So God's word is a lamp and a light, right? So we can fix our eyes on his light. I mean, if you're in the middle of a mess, you go to the doctor and you have an ailment. What do? They give you a prescription, right? Thank you, both of you. All right. They give you a prescription, right?
Yes.
Can I give you a spiritual prescription?
Yes.
If you're in the middle of a mess, you need to put a lot of Bible in your life. You know, there's healing that comes from the scriptures. Proverbs 3 says that. Health to our flesh and our entire frame. We trust in the Lord and honor his word. So if you're in a mess, can I just recommend read the Psalms? In the Psalms, you'll find all sorts of prayers of David and other psalmists that they're crying out, and you'll say, hey, other people have been in the same situation I've been, and this is how they prayed. Get in the Proverbs. Read the Proverbs because they're full of wisdom for you, for living. Read the historical accounts because what you'll see in there is that God, what God has come through time and time again for his people when they line themselves up with his purposes. And when you do that, listen, he did it once, he can do it again. It gives you confidence. Read the prophets. The prophets will help you adjust the attitudes in your life and bring correction. They'll speak to your heart in areas where you need to confess and repent and change. Read the Gospels. The Gospels, we see the teachings of Jesus, and they help us get our priorities straight. Read the epistles, the letters that James and John and Peter and Paul all wrote and to the church, and they'll help you how to have right attitudes towards other people. God's word is the light that we can live by. When you're in a mess, you need to put more Bible in your life. Now, light also refers to hope, though, not just the word, but it refers to hope. As David says in Psalm 27, he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The Lord is my light, my hope, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You know, you don't have to endure day after day after day of darkness. That's not God's plan. God wants to bring light to your life. He wants to enlighten you and bring light to you and help you to see clearly through his word and have a hope. And you might feel like your life is just one unmanageable mess, but don't believe your feelings. Look for that light. Look for signs of hope. Look for the possibilities. Listen, God, I cried to the Lord in my despair, and he set me in a broad place. God is not limited in his resource. Psalm 95 says, "The river of God has plenty of water, and his paths drip with abundance." God has plenty. So developing a God is in control mindset means that you begin to look at something other than your situation. Because here's what happens. We begin to dwell on how big our problems are instead of how big our God is. Am I telling the truth?
Yep.
Yeah, see? So look to God for answers. Look at his word and appropriate his presence in your life. And you know, we all face challenges. And sometimes things seemingly spin out of control, but the operative word is seemingly. They just appear like they're spinning out of control. And no matter how things look for you right now in your current situation, you can find a place of peace in the presence of God. He promises that. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." God is in control. Every situation, it's a choice that you make to be honest with your situation. You can tell him exactly how you're feeling, but then take it a step further and say, "God, but no matter what, I still trust you. I still believe in you." And you can celebrate every day, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's set our stuff aside for a moment. I just wonder this morning, as the band's getting ready, they'll lead us in a song, but I'm just wondering if some of us here, you just really appreciate it.